And good morning, it's 8:45 at WFIR. Congress scheduled to wrap up its work for the year before Christmas, and among the matters still not yet decided, a final vote on proposed tax reform. 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith joins Evan Jones and me live on the phone to talk about that and the other key issues facing Congress right now. And Congressman Griffith, we say good morning. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Glad to be with you this morning.
Okay, Congressman, critics say, you know, when it comes to this tax reform, either House or Senate passed version benefits the wealthy. Now, are you confident that whatever comes out will, in fact, benefit virtually all your middle class constituents?
I am. I don't think there's any doubt of that. It will benefit most everybody. And, you know, folks who are saying it benefits the wealthy are also correct because it benefits everybody. And, of course, the wealthy pay the majority of the taxes, so obviously it's going to benefit them too. But the average family will see some savings, and that's, I think, very important. And it's part of what the president promised, and it's part of what we're trying to deliver.
Congressman, this is Evan Jones. Good morning. You have sounded concerns over the deficit throughout your 7 years in Congress. Are you convinced that the economic boost that is promised with a tax cut will avoid deepening the national deficit even further?
I believe that it will. And you know, it's one of these things we're going to take a look at. I actually suggested the other day to one of the conferees that maybe we put a sunset on both the corporate taxes and the individual tax changes, just so we can take a look at it, because if we don't get that boost in growth, we will have to take a serious look at it. But I believe that after you get through about the first year or two, you will see that growth in the economy and spending by families, because they have more to spend, will boost our economy to such a point that we're actually bringing in more revenue.
You are no doubt familiar with the saying that no one should see how laws or sausages are made. This the whole process that we've been witnessing of late, to some don't see it as a pretty process, but from your standpoint, is it still going to lead to something acceptable? Do you think you might have to hold your nose and vote yes?
Well, there's always a component, and particularly at the federal level, they throw everything together onto one package, and so there's almost always some component of having to hold your nose. But what I try to do is to figure out if there's more good things than bad things. And if there are, then I will vote for it. If I think there's more bad things, then I'll vote against it. But what I'm seeing out of both the House and the Senate plans, while there's some things in each of them I don't like, and some things in each of them I do like, I think there's more good than bad in both of those proposals. So what the conferees come back with, unless they take all the bad stuff and leave all the good stuff on the table, I think I'm going to vote for it.
Witnessing what you have witnessed this year in Congress, are you convinced Congress will pass a version by the end of this month?
Well, I got very disappointed on health care. The Senate, I thought, was on the verge of doing something, and they didn't. So I've been very concerned that at the last minute, like Lucy and Charlie Brown, Lucy will pull the football back at the very last minute and say, ha, 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 I tricked you again. But the House is ready to go forward, and that's all I have any vote in, and we're ready to go forward and do something positive for the American people.
We are speaking with 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. His district starts right around Salem, extends to parts of the Allegheny Highlands, and then westward to Kentucky and Tennessee. Now, with so much attention paid recently to sexual harassment in Congress, among other areas, do you think calls for members' resignations in some cases are too hasty, that there has not been sufficient due process?
Well, each case has to be judged on its own. But we are seeing a real strange attitude in the sense that people don't feel like they can even defend themselves. You know, I don't know what the facts are in some of these cases. But I will say that I was talking with some of my Democrat colleagues the other day, and they were very concerned. These were House colleagues, very concerned that the Senate, in the Franken matter, some of the senators were saying things like, the mere allegation is enough, and we don't have time to do an investigation. That's a scary proposition for all Americans, not just for those of us in public office, but for all Americans. If people start taking the attitude that an allegation is enough to have you lose your job or lose your position or go to jail, that's anathema to the American system. So there is some concern, but at the same time, we need to make sure that if people are, you know, involved in grabbing and groping, as a part of their job or as a part of their position, that comes to light. So there needs to be a balance, but I fear that we may be in a bit of a feeding frenzy right now.
Were you aware that there was a system in which taxpayer money was being used to fund sexual harassment settlements involving elected representatives?
I was not. I was not aware of that, and I would like to see that changed. However, you know, again, you have to have a balance. If the person, you know, if the individual needs that money up front to pay their attorney's fees, as long as they pay it back, I think that's appropriate, because sometimes people make allegations. There have been some allegations, not just of sexual, and most of these cases were not sexual. Most of these cases dealt with other things. There was a case with discrimination that's out there, and you want to make sure that those people get their money, as long as the elected official is paying it back. And then you have cases of, I think the vast majority of that huge number everybody heard about, or a significant portion of it, was paid on asbestos claims at the Capitol. And people don't realize it's not just the congressmen, it's the, and congressmen and women, it's the Capitol Police and the, a lot of the other employees who actually work for Congress.
Night District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith joining us here on the Roanoke Valley's Morning News. And Congressman, you're going to complete your fourth term next year, and your nearby colleague Bob Goodlatte says he will not run again. Do you plan to seek a fifth term?
Well, we're certainly looking at it. I'm not ready to make any announcements yet, but I haven't. I don't want to give anybody the impression that I'm not planning to run again, but we haven't made any announcements and haven't made a final decision.
Okay, well, along that line, you were first elected in what was often called the Tea Party wave of 2010, when you and many conservative Republicans ousted Democratic incumbents, in your case, longtime Congressman Rick Boucher. Now, do this year's House of Delegates elections in Virginia, in which many Democratic challengers unseated longtime Republicans, suggest you may face a potential wave of your own next year if you run again?
Well, there certainly is that potential. We've been working hard crisscrossing the 9th District. As you know, it covers 29 different geopolitical subdivisions, Covington to Martinsville, and then from Salem all the way down to the Cumberland Gap. So it's a huge district, but we've been crisscrossing it. And I think folks know I'm out there working hard for them, and I think we'll be all right.
9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith with us this morning on WFIR. You're surely aware state and federal regulators both have now approved permits to build the proposed Mountain Valley natural gas pipeline, a good portion of which would pass through your district. Are you satisfied that both the state and federal regulators have done all that is needed to safely consider environmental concerns?
I am not. I am very concerned with two points on the environmental side and then on the public safety side. Concerned about the situation in Newport, where the gas pipeline is going to pass by a lot of things like daycares and, or a daycare and those kinds of things. And then I'm very concerned up on top of Ben Mountain. We have an interesting situation up there where I call them mountain bogs. You have a lot of water sitting on top of the mountain. It does not seep down through the rock as often happens on other mountaintops. And if you start blasting up there, what are we going to do? I don't think we know. And I think it's a real concern that we don't know. There's not enough soil. They're going to have to do some blasting, in my opinion, to put that pipeline underground. And I'm fearful that we haven't fully studied the impacts of that on that unique environment on top of Bent Mountain.
What action, if any, do you believe is possible with regulators at this point, or does it necessarily must it head to court for challenges?
I think it's probably got to go to court at this point. This is one of those places where Congress has given to an independent agency most of the authority to make these decisions. And I'm really concerned that they're not paying attention to one mountain in Southwest Virginia because they're looking at the whole country. But it's a beautiful place, and I'm very concerned about that mountain.
Looks like we have time for one more question, about a minute and a half. Last week, President Trump announced that the U.S. Was recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, to much criticism, home and abroad. Do you believe the critics are correct in saying this endangers any hopes of a successful peace process?
I don't. I think that the president is actually right. Look, Jerusalem has been a bone of contention, obviously, for centuries. In today's Roanoke Times, there's a little piece in history that says that people were celebrating that British forces took Jerusalem because that meant there would someday be a Jewish homeland. Jerusalem has always been seen as the capital of Israel or a Jewish state. I think that's appropriate. But furthermore, what we have to understand is nothing has moved. Congress passed a law in 1995 saying that Jerusalem should be the capital and that we should move our embassy by 1999. Nothing has changed in the peace process of any major import since 1999. So maybe now when folks see that we're serious, that we're going to follow through, maybe that'll bring them to the table after they get over there being upset about it, and they will be. I understand that. But when they get over that, maybe they realize this is something we're going to have to deal with. You can't say we're going to push Israel into the sea and expect to reach peace. So maybe we should start working on how do we have a Palestinian state? How do we have a Jewish state that is recognized by its Arab nation neighbors?
9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith has been with us this morning on WFIR. Congressman, we appreciate your time. Hope you have a good day.
You too.